Om Shri Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to a brand new show on Radio Sai. This is Prem from Team Radio Sai. And today we're starting a very, very new show. You must have heard the promos last week. But before I go into what the show is about and what we will be doing in this half-hour segment, I would like to begin this week's episode and this entire series by praying to Swami, of course, and offering our most loving pranams at Swami's lotus feet. And as all things have to be started, as Swami has taught us, let us begin by offering our salutations to Lord Ganesha, who is the remover of all obstacles. Do join me in this prayer. Om Vakratunda Mahakaya Surya Koti Samaprabha Nirvignam Kurume Deva Sarvakaryeshu Sarvada Om Saishwaraya Vidmahe Satya Devaya Dhimahi Tannas Sarva Prachodayat. So what is this new program going to be all about? We are calling it the Radio Sai Answering Booth. And of course, it's about you sending us questions and we giving you answers. But what about this program and why did we come across this idea in the first place at all? Well, many times when we read Swami's message and when we go through Swami's discourses, it is one thing to listen about it and to muse about it. But what we really have to do as individuals is try to find out ways of bringing that learning, bringing that wisdom and that teaching to our everyday life. We go through many situations in life when we stop and ask, what would Swami want me to do at this point in my life? What decision am I supposed to take? How am I supposed to react to a situation that I've been put into? That in many ways is a situation of confusion or dilemma, but I would say that that's a very, very good confusion to have, because every time that confusion pops up, it's a sign that we are really wishing to walk the path that Swami would want us to. So many times it's a very good thing to stop and ask, what would Swami want me to do at this point? But not always the answer is forthcoming. So we thought, why not we open a program, we're calling it the Radio Sai Answering Booth, where you can send us questions and we could probably think of ways of answering that. But before we go into what kind of questions and all of those details, let me, dear listeners, make it very clear, as Swami would always say, the answers always come from within. Swami is within each one of us and the answer always comes from within. But many times the voices in our head is so loud that it's very difficult to discern which is really the answer which is coming from the conscience or the answer which is coming from Swami. So we do hope that the answer which we give or the discussion that we initiate based on the question that you send to us only highlights that answer which is coming from you within. The answer just resonates with the true answer which is already coming from within you. So even before we go into the program per se, let me pray to Swami that he gives all of us the understanding that when you send a question to me, I will take it as a question that Swami is asking me so that I can think over and get a better understanding of the concept. And if you get any satisfying answer through this program, please do consider it as Swami's answer to you and not an answer of an individual sitting here in the Radio Sai studio. So what kind of questions are we looking at in this program? As I said, the questions which should be asked should be about day-to-day issues. When we are in a situation, when we are spoiled for a choice, we're wondering what would be the right choice according to Swami that we should be taking. And when in such a dilemma, what is the question that will come to you? So we would encourage questions that are not purely based on philosophy. Please don't ask us questions about, why did this happen in the Ramayana? Why did Krishna do this? Instead of that, questions like, if you're not sure what I'm referring to, maybe you can stay tuned for the next few weeks and you'll see what kind of questions that we are answering in this program. In fact, we do have a couple of questions and based on the time available, probably we will take questions one or many in this program and that is what we will be doing. The other reason why it is always good to ask questions to a third person. I was once talking to a friend of mine who was explaining to me the concept of consultancy. He said, why do companies have consultants and why do companies hire consultants? The basic idea behind that is many times A person who is giving you the solution, if he is outside your problem, he will have better clarity to tell you what is right and wrong. So when I'm sitting here and taking your questions, I will definitely be looking at Swami's message for the clarity, but there will be a certain amount of dispassion in my ability or anybody's ability on this side to give you the right answer. So as I said, the answer always comes from within, but when this answer that we give resonates with that answer within, you will know what exactly Swami would want you to do. So what is the format of question that you have to send to us is what I told you. How do you send us the questions? Well, in this program, I would really appreciate that if you could send us questions that you have recorded in your own voice. In that way, we can play the question and then play the answer or answer the question that you have sent to us. I think recording questions should not be a problem. I think any phone, any smartphone is capable of doing that basic recording. You just have to press the record button and read out your question, record it to us. And you can send it to me through an email at prem@radiosai.org. That's prem@radiosai.org. So I will be able to listen to those questions and probably do a little bit of research myself and try and come up with answers for you. If at all you would like to be anonymous, I think that's a possibility. You might want to ask a question and want an answer but would like to remain anonymous. If that is the case, do let me know. Probably we can still answer your question and not reveal your name. So that is all about the introduction that I had to give you today about this new program. So I'm sure this is going to be a fascinating journey, definitely for me, and I hope for all of you, those of you who ask questions or those of you who are just tuning in to listen to the program. So why not we dive into the program with the first question? So over now to the first question of the Radio Sai Answering Booth. This is the first episode, the first question. So with prayers to Swami, let's start this brand new show, Radio Sai Answering Booth. So dear listeners, the first person to write to us, or rather send us the query, is Mrs. Nima from London, UK. She's, as we requested, has sent us her question in the form of an audio file. She's recorded the question for us. So let's listen to her question at the end of it. With prayers to Swami, let's begin the show for the first time by answering this listener.
Sai Ram, I think it's a wonderful idea to have this program. Thank you very much for such a platform. Very timely indeed. My question relates to veganism versus vegetarianism. I believe you did a study circle on vegetarianism a couple of years ago, but I'm not sure it addressed the question I have about cow's cruelty and the environment. I live in England with my family. We are vegetarians. A few months ago, we watched a documentary called Cowspiracy. This is a very thought-provoking program and explains about the inhumane way milk is being produced commercially these days, particularly in the West. The pain that the cows are going through is beyond description. After watching this, it occurred to me that I should become vegan. I have since cut down on dairy products. However, I am not 100% vegan yet. My family does not agree with me. They say that if paneer, cheese and milk are consumed in Prashanti, then it's fine. They argue that anything that is served in Prashanti canteen is allowed. They don't accept my argument that the methods of procuring milk in Prashanti may be better than in the West. They also refer to Swami's talk on this matter, where I believe he mentions that we should dilute milk, but he does not say that we should not have it. So my question is, if someone lives in the UK or USA, where we know that the milk and dairy products are being procured after causing pain to the cows as well as to the environment, what is the right thing to do? Are we accumulating bad karma by consuming these products? Thank you. Sai Ram, from Nima in London.
So that's the question by Mrs. Nima Sunasi from London, UK. And as you heard, it's a very important question. I think it's a question that troubles a lot of people. As she mentioned in her question itself, we had done a program on vegetarianism. And I should say at the end of that program, a lot of comments which came to us was related to veganism. You know, given the amount of cruelty towards animals that happens in the procurement of dairy products, should we all turn to veganism? Just like how from non-vegetarianism, a lot of people turn to vegetarianism. Okay, very quickly summarizing the points that she made, and we'll try to address them one by one, or rather we'll ensure that all of that gets covered in our answer. First of all, one of the things she asked was veganism versus vegetarianism. Has Swami made any comments on that? We'll look at that. And of course, she's asked another, I think the crux of that entire question is, are we accumulating bad karma by consuming dairy products? All right. Now, going back to vegetarianism, I'll start from there because we are speaking about veganism versus vegetarianism. Going back to that program on vegetarianism, I would first of all suggest that our listeners can go back and listen to that discussion. It's there on the website. You can search for the value of vegetarianism. It's a two-part article. I think it's quite elaborate and it's a good article to go through. In that, we had made a number of points. We had spoken about it from different angles. And I'm not going to go into all of those details. I'm going to make it concise and probably put it in 3 points and say how vegetarianism is a good idea because of these 3 points in the increasing order of significance. You know, the third point is the most significant, most important, and the clinching reason, I would put it that way. So the 3 points are, number one, non-vegetarian food is not sattvic, or in other words, is unsuitable for spiritual growth. For those of you who are not aware of the word sattvic, sattvic means pure food, or which is very important for leading a spiritual life. All right. And the second point is cruelty towards animals. And the third point, as I said, the most significant and important point is that Swami says that my devotees should not eat meat. Why did I put the fact that meat is not sattvic food as the least significant among the three? It's because our eating habit is such that we eat a lot of non-sattvic food otherwise, that the non-vegetarian diet being non-sattvic is not really such an important reason for us, because if we go into Swami's discourses and see about what classifies or what can be categorized as sattvic food and tamasic or rajasic food, you know, too much spice, too much of sourness and all of this, too much of cooking, deep fried, toasted, roasted and all of that comes under non-sattvic food. So even vegetarian food in a lot of ways can be non-sattvic. But if we are considering a spiritual life, if we would like to look at ourselves as a spiritual aspirant, we may not be having a completely sattvic food, but I think it's important to have food that's tending towards a sattvic diet at least. And at every opportunity, if we could eat sattvic food, I think even that is good enough. I don't think it's possible for all of us to eat completely sattvic food all the time, given our lifestyles. But even if we are eating a diet which is tending towards sattvic food, it is good enough. Coming to cruelty against animals, yes, when you're talking about non-vegetarian food, you're talking about killing a life form to feed ourselves. Definitely not a good idea. And that's one of the reasons, of course, why all of us should give up non-vegetarian food. In fact, there's a beautiful speech by Mahatma Gandhi, which he gave to the Vegetarian Society. I'll refer to that speech again, in that he says, you know, for people to turn towards vegetarianism, just the idea that eating non-vegetarian food, eating meat is unhealthy, is not good enough. There should be a more moral, altruistic reason for people to turn to vegetarianism. So cruelty against animals is definitely one of the big points for people to turn to vegetarianism. And third, as I said, the most important for us as Sai devotees is that Swami categorically says that I do not want my devotees to have non-vegetarian food. On a number of occasions during that program, we've quoted that Swami said that to be called a Sai devotee, you should not do 3 things, not eat meat, you should not smoke, you should not drink, So it's a very important tenet in Swami's message that he does not want us to eat non-vegetarian food. So these are the 3 points. As I said, non-vegetarian food is not sattvic, cruelty against animals, and that Swami does not approve eating non-vegetarian food. All right. Now when we talk about veganism versus vegetarianism, we'll take veganism and put it against each of these 3 points, and let's see what we come up with. As I said, non-vegetarian food is not sattvic. Is milk and milk products sattvic? The answer is yes, because Swami has said it on many occasions when he spoke about sattvic food. When asked about dairy products in specifically, Swami said that milk is sattvic food. So I think that also answers the third criteria, which we said Swami does not approve of it, because on many occasions Swami himself has spoken of milk as sattvic food. Swami has set up the Gokulam here. The Gokulam supplies milk to Swami's hostels, to the ashram. Milk is served in the canteen, as the questioner herself observed, that such things are served in the canteen. So, yes, you know, Swami does not downright disapprove of consumption of milk or milk products. And yes, you made an interesting point that Swami does emphasize that milk should not be had very thick in its native form. It has to be diluted. And I mean, even as I make this point, I'm reminded of what happened in one of the interviews. Swami was speaking to the teachers from the primary school, and Swami is talking about diet and what kind of food has to be served to the children. At that time, Swami said this, you know, don't give children very thick milk. Milk has to be diluted, and it's better to have it that way. And in the course of that discourse, Swami said, yeah, but you don't have to worry about that, because the milkman takes care of that. Swami said, he dilutes it so much, you don't have to worry about that. But as I said, yes, you know, milk is a sattvic food. Swami does not disapprove of it. All right, then coming to this second point, I think, which is the real reason why the question was posed, and the real reason why a lot of us come up with this idea, you know, is it a good time to turn to veganism? It is because of this concept, which we also mentioned during the discussion on vegetarianism. The industrialization of farms is a very, very important cause for cruelty against animals seeping into the production of our food. You know, we're talking about dairy products here, but a lot of other vegetarian foods also involve cruelty against animals. We'll keep that for later. But this point of cruelty against animals as a reason for giving up dairy products, I'll probably give you a short, we'll look at a short history about how this situation has come. Because as we said, if milk is sattvic food, milk is a food which has been accepted over the years, and probably I wouldn't be wrong in saying how this categorization of sattvic, tamasic and rajasic food happened. In the earlier years, our ancients, especially sages, they were very particular about their thoughts, about their feelings. So they were constantly seeing what kind of sights, what kind of things which when taken in causes wrong thoughts, causes, can I put it as worldly thoughts. And that is how I think most of these foods have been classified. So definitely it has been understood that consuming milk does not cause bad thoughts in that sense of how Swami says that non-vegetarian food causes. Having said that, how is it that one pure form of food has today made us raise this question? It is because, you know, the way it has happened, I would say science has stepped in. We have found better ways of saving milk, refrigeration, pasteurization and transportation, most importantly, has made it possible for us to preserve milk and also serve it to a larger area of people than earlier it used to be possible. Milk is a very, very perishable commodity, so it had to be distributed among the people around the place where it was produced. With this kind of technology coming in, you know, that milk could be shared with a larger number of people. That brings in this problem of the consumer base of milk increasing. But at some time, there is a saturation that happens. All right. So when this saturation happens, and the industry by then has become very powerful, it's grown, it's become more rich, it has the ability to lobby policy making right now, and then it has the money power to bring in a lot of marketing. So now what happens is a situation is created where we are made to consume more than what is necessary and what we have traditionally been consuming. And I think a fallout of that is, just look at the advertisements around you. You know, milk is not just in our milk. You know, milk is there in your smoothies, your ice creams, your cheese, your all kinds of fast foods which we eat today, our creams. Situation has been created where we tend to consume more dairy products. I could only put it as, here is a pure food which we had in our hands, and just out of our greed, we have made it an impure food because it is connected with animal cruelty. So in many words, I think what has caused this whole thing is an increase in consumption of these dairy products, not really having milk or having any of these dairy products, but having more than what is necessary. You know, I just did a Google search to see that what is the per capita consumption of dairy products in different countries. I was surprised to see that India was not there even in the top 100. And I was of the opinion that we in India consume a lot of dairy products compared to the other countries, because we have ghee, we have butter, we have curd, we have buttermilk, and of course we too are consumers of cheese, may not be as much as in the West. And of course milk is definitely a part of our staple diet. So how is it that Indian per capita consumption of milk or dairy products is so low? I think it's because of this. We have pumped up our consumption much, much more than what we need. So coming back to this debate about, you know, as Swami's devotees, as a spiritual aspirant, is it necessary to go into a vegan diet? I think as a general rule, it is not necessary. It is not mandatory as becoming a vegetarian is. Becoming a vegan is not mandatory in that sense. But as a general rule, for a spiritual aspirant, I think we need to move towards, as I said, tending towards a sattvic diet, a more wholesome diet, in which definitely dairy products can be a part. All right. And coming to that last sentence which was made in that question, I said that's a very important point about, does consuming dairy products lead to bad karma given the situation in the West? Right. So much of cruelty towards animals is involved in the production of these products. Does it involve bad karma in consuming this? It's a very good question. It's a very tricky question. But let me tell you that the way we lead our lifestyle, right, involves bad karma in different levels. We don't realize that even the production of vegetarian food actually puts an enormous amount of strain on animal life. For instance, you know, our food production has gone up over the years, over the decades, over the centuries because of clearing of forests. You have food factories which pollute lakes that are harming our aquatic life. So almost all of our consumptions, you know, be it food, be it our clothing, be it our other necessities, I mean, our gadgets, our technology, all of this actually involve a strain of some form or the other on other life forms. So we are actually living a life which is really, you know, high on karmic burden, if I could put it that way. So yes, definitely consuming dairy products in the situation given in the West is causing a lot of karma, but I'm not sure. But the point is, even in our normal day-to-day existence, we are actually performing a lot of bad karma in that sense. So I think it finally comes down to an individual choice, especially about this debate about veganism, vegetarianism, that, you know, how do I want my lifestyle to be? If it is a choice that I want to become vegan, completely give up all dairy products, if you feel that you can live a life like that, I think there is nothing wrong in that. At the same time, there is a little bit of value or virtue in that. Any form of self-discipline gives an enormous amount of self-confidence. So veganism is definitely a way forward in that sense. So if it suits you, I think it's an individual choice. If people around you don't agree, it does not matter really. If it's your individual choice, I think it's nothing wrong in that. But if you feel that I'm not able to give up this kind of a food, as I said, one thing is reduction in consumption. Take what we need, not because, you know, what we are told is the food we need to eat, or eating this is cool, or eating this is the in thing right now. Eat what is necessary. And another option, which is a very, very good option, as you said, in Puttaparthi it is allowed because in Puttaparthi the production is in such a way, because a lot of people in Puttaparthi and in towns like Puttaparthi in India rely on local farms for their dairy products. So if, even though living in the West, and there is an option for you with a little bit of strain to procure these dairy products from a local farm, I think you will be circumventing this cruelty towards animals angle, which is related to dairy products. So in conclusion, probably I'll just sum it up. So being vegan is not mandatory for Sai devotees or a spiritual aspirant as much as being vegetarian is. But having said that, it's absolutely nothing wrong if you wish to make your life purer, little more with your effort through becoming a vegan. In fact, you would be very, very happy to know that the vegan movement is definitely having an impact. I just happened to read that as of 2016, dairy product consumption is drastically falling in the West and in other parts of the country. A lot of the countries are, you know, disincentivizing dairy products production. They are cutting down exports and imports of dairy products. So definitely veganism was a movement which was most necessary given the condition we had created for our animal life which we are living with. But as I said, is it necessary? Is it, does Swami say that you should give up milk? No, he has never said that. He has never said that even to Western devotees. But as an individual choice, I think it's definitely very, very appreciable. If you choose to be a vegan, I think do it as an individual sadhana. I think there are a lot of devotees who take up this thing of giving up one form of food which is very fond to them or the other, just to give them that self-confidence. So probably this would be the answer for that question. So this was the first question to the answering booth, and we're very, very happy. Mrs. Nima, this was a very thought-provoking question. As I said, this was asked to us when we did that show on vegetarianism. We couldn't answer this question. You gave us the opportunity to do that. Thank you so much. Based on the answer which was given, if any of you have more questions and more practical questions to ask, feel free, just pick up your mobile phone, your smartphone or a microphone connected to your system, record your answer and do send it to us. As I said, you can send it to prem@radiosai.org. That is prem@radiosai.org. That's a mouthful. Thank you so much, Mrs. Nima, once again for sending us and being the first questioner on our program. Thank you. So that, dear listeners, was the first question that we took on this show. We have more to come next week at 11 on Thursday. I'm going to be back with you with Radio Sai Answering Booth. We already have a few very interesting questions, and you will see that what I meant by I would love to have only practical questions, because there are going to be some questions on career options, decisions that students have to make, decisions that parents have to do when bringing up their children, and many such interesting questions. As always, you can write in your feedback to listener@radiosai.org, but if you have questions, you do send it to me at prem@radiosai.org, and we would definitely appreciate if you could answer the question and send it to us, just like how Mrs. Nima did. That way we can play your question in your own voice and then we could give you the answer. So thank you for being with me. I'm going to conclude this episode by playing our special audio which we released last night. On the other side of it, you'll be joined by Brother Raghu with his program, Service Love in Action. Thank you for being with me. Do join me again at 11 a.m. on Thursday Live.
Yeah.